Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So I know I've missed a week with the podcast. I'm back this week though. And it's just fresh after a bank holiday weekend. I am on week 11 of my calorie deficit, I think. Let me open my notes up. I always get confused. It feels like this has been going on forever, but not in a bad way. Like, it's not as if I'm suffering through it. It just feels like, yeah, I've spent longer than I have. Where are we? I always like document my weight every day on, obviously weigh myself, but I take a note of my weight every day. So 14 week deficit. Week 11, yeah. So obviously I finish up at the end of the month. So week starting the 25th will be my last week in this calorie deficit, like 14 weeks nearly done. Like, Jesus, I know I've said it feels like it's dragged on, but it's flown in at the same time too. And mainly because, you know, I mentioned it a few minutes ago, is that I don't feel like this was tough. Like, when you are using like a chaotic approach, an unsustainable approach, every day is going to feel like a week because it's horrendous. You know, they like cutting out food groups, doing an unnecessary amount of cardio, cutting out your favorite foods in general, avoiding social events because you think you're not allowed to go to them or that you won't be able to handle them because your diet is so restrictive. But no, I suppose the only difference between this calorie deficit and just my normal way of life is it is just a bit time consuming, you know, like doing the extra activity, like making sure that, you know, you get enough steps in each day. Like, look, some days you will fall short. That's okay. And then obviously like the cardio sessions, the gym sessions, training for the marathon as well. Like, it is very time consuming, and then trying to fit in work around those things. But you know, every day you wake up and you're like, right, what's your priority today? But what's your overall priority? So at the moment, career-wise, my priority is, I'm actually going to get to that now in a second, because the topic of this podcast would be very relevant to that. But my priority is fat loss. Okay. So, and then my career goal is I want to, you know, post more content, and making content takes time. So yeah. Doing all that activity, making content, that all takes time, but it's a priority, and it's not as if I'm wasting that time sitting down scrolling on TikTok, although sometimes I do. I'm guilty of that, but yeah, that's my priority at the moment. So when I do find myself slacking, like sitting down scrolling on TikTok, I'm like, okay, what's my priority today? Right, well then that needs to be done, you know. But I'm flying anyway. I broke into the 61 kg range this week. So I've lost 8 pounds so far. It's week 11. But remember, the first 2 weeks I was at maintenance, so I wasn't looking to lose weight in the first 2 weeks anyway. So technically, I'm only 9 weeks in a calorie deficit. So, and then, you know, up until like week 5, I wasn't really losing anything. So I suppose in the last 7 weeks, 6-7 weeks, you know, I've lost 8 pounds, which is great. And I've gone out for a meal like every second weekend. I didn't go out for a meal this weekend. But yeah, that doesn't mean that's not allowed. It's just I try to do it less when I'm in a calorie deficit because I like knowing, you know, the food that I'm eating. I like know what's in it in terms of calories and stuff like that, because when you're eating out so frequently, what can happen is you can't be accurate with that. You know, if you're eating out 2 to 3 days a week, like that's 2 to 3 days that you are going over your calories because you're not certain of what the calories are in that meal, you know. So that's why when I'm in a calorie deficit, I don't eat out as much, just so I can be certain about what calories I'm eating. And then I drank twice. Like I always say, like I don't really drink in a calorie deficit. Like, so to drink twice over 11 weeks is obviously fine, you know, because again, you're not doing it every weekend. You're not like wasting thousands of calories on alcohol. And even when I do drink, I just stick to like 7-Up Free and a vodka, you know, and I'd have like maybe 4 to 5 of them at max over the course of the night. And I find when I drink them as well, like I don't actually get a bad hangover. I don't know because if it's just because it's clear liquid. But yeah, like if you're going near like pints of cider or Ultra Tea, it's like, Alco Pops are actually quite low in calories. I used to always think they were very high, but they're not. Like, I think they're only like 120 to 130 calories now. Again, like, you they're very easy to drink as well. Like, so, you know, if you're having like 7 or 8 of them, like, you are going to be drinking easily 1,000 calories, whereas like 4 to 5 7-Up Freeze and vodka is like probably 500 calories at most, you know. And you could bank maybe 300 to 400 calories away across the week if you knew that you were going out the weekend and you were just sticking to the low calorie ones. But I just find, I was actually talking to my mother-in-law, my boyfriend's mother, and she doesn't drink. She hasn't drank for years. My own mother's not a drinker. Like, she's not. Like, my own mother would probably drink twice in a year, and when she does, it would probably be like 2 Alco Pops. Like, that's the extent of it. But I remember we were joking, and I was saying to my mother-in-law, I was like, I can still drink like I'm 20, but I can't handle the hangovers like I'm 20. So that's why, like, you know, I stopped like that binge drinking shy years ago. Well, it was bad through COVID, I have to say. And then I think everybody kind of went off the rails a bit with it. But then gradually I started learning, like, right, Enya, you run your own business here. Like, you can't afford to be hungover. As the years went on, I started, you know, I had to be responsible for a lot of things. I carried the weight of a lot of positions. You know, I do the job of 5 people, because I only have an assistant now, which I was lucky enough to be able to hire like last year, a virtual assistant. And, you know, she helps me with a lot of stuff too. So, but there's like a lot of stuff that only I can do. So, you know, I have to appear in my videos. I have to do my check-ins. I make my own content, you know, like, so it is tough. So I can't be affording to wake up, to be waking up 2 to 3 days a week hungover. You know, and I'm very lucky to do what I do, because I look forward to my work. I do. Some days, right, I'm not jumping up out of the bed delighted to be doing what I'm doing, but like that's human. But imagine, like, you know, hating the job that you're in, and the weekend is your only way to escape that, and it's getting pissed. Like, you know, just going out, drinking heavy Friday, Saturday, dying all day Sunday, and then you're back into the office or work from home, whatever it is, working for a company you can't stand. Like, that's just not my idea of a good life. And I understand that some people aren't in a privileged position like I am, and they don't have that, you know, they don't have the advantage that I do. But, you know, I always say, like, even my own boyfriend, he recently left his job because of he wasn't happy in it. And he was like, I'm not going to stay somewhere where I'm not happy, you know. He was there for years and years, and he just thought, okay, now is the time to actually try something new, and, you know, work. He's a chef, so work in a different kitchen or whatnot. I'm just, the last few years, I'm a big believer in not settling. Like, I will not settle for less than I deserve, in every part of my life. So that's why I don't drink as much anymore. And, you know, I think one day soon, I was actually saying it to my friend, who she doesn't drink anymore either. I was like, my relationship has totally changed with it, because I can just see myself just not drinking anymore pretty soon. Like, I can, because every time I do, I do be like, why? What was even the point of this, you know? And I've been at events plenty of times where I didn't drink, and, you know, the next day, like, yeah, what would even been the point of drinking there? Like, it was just a bang average night. So that's why, like, over the last 11 weeks, I only drank twice, and both of those was when I ran the half marathon, and then I met up with a friend I hadn't seen in a very long time, and we went to a really fancy restaurant for food and stuff like that. And yeah, so that was really it. So I don't really kind of like wasting my time now drinking for the sake of drinking, when I could be waking up the next day and making use of the weekend, you know. And that's the great thing about training for the marathon. I did finish my first week of marathon training. Now, obviously, you're not starting off at like 200%, same way you don't do that with calorie deficit. Like, gradually, as the weeks go on, the distances will get longer. And like the half marathon then at the end of September, that will be part of the marathon training as well. Because my distance will be up around that anyway at that time. I think it's the 26th of September, the half marathon. So yeah, that's another thing that kind of keeps you on the straight and narrow. Like, you don't want to be going out doing a run when you're hanging, you know, especially like, what, 20 kilometers? Absolutely not. So yeah, it keeps you accountable too. But I will be going to Benidorm actually at the end of August, which is kind of like why I wanted to do the calorie deficit. Because like I said, I was away a good few times during the year. There was never a long enough window to go into a proper calorie deficit. I know I did a little mini cut for 4 weeks and I lost like 2 kilo just before I went to Australia. But I was kind of like just breaking even, making a little bit of room for probably the food that I was going to eat over there and then the weight I was going to gain. But yeah, so I knew I'd have a long, quiet summer, and then I was going away on a hens. I'm going away on a hens at the end of this month, just for 2 nights. So obviously, like, it's a hen party in Benidorm. You know, there'll be alcohol there, but I don't have anything else coming up over the year, so I will just be able to lock in then and just focus on marathon training, because that's going to be the next priority. Once I finish this calorie deficit, my food will go back up. I'll obviously have more energy. I'll recover that bit better as well after runs. I'll have enough petrol in the tank to go for longer distances and stuff. But yeah, that will be my priority after the end of August. But I started at like 65.8 kg in this calorie deficit. So I weighed myself yesterday, I was 61.8. So I'm absolutely flying. I am back to my weight in January. So before I went on all these holidays, which is unreal, you know, I'm over the moon about that. And again, I feel like my life hasn't been affected that much. I've just been waking up every day and ticking boxes and not taking the piss, like not eating out multiple times and drinking all the time, because I've done calorie deficits in the past like that, and I probably would have only lost half of what I've lost if I kept that up. So it is just a matter of being consistent, being disciplined and trusting the process. And if you're following me on my page, you will see it's very, very up and down, you know, like one day it can spike, 2 days in a row it can drop, and then the next day it can spike. But overall, it's going down gradually over time. And then anything else, I started taking 40 milligrams of my ADHD medication, Tyvenz it's called, which is what I've been taking all along. They've just increased the dosage, but I felt a little bit of appetite suppression on this, meaning that when I sit down to have my breakfast, I find that I'm not eating at all. Like, so there's some left over because I'm full, which is strange because I usually lick the plate clean. Like, I have such a big appetite. So that felt odd, you know. And then I don't think about food as much, but I obviously need to eat for my running, for the gym, to do my workouts, and then my cardio in the gym as well. So yeah, it's kind of like, right, and you need to eat now, you know, rather than like, oh, I can't wait to eat, because that's usually what I am like, constantly thinking about my next meal and so. But anyway, the point of this podcast is I recently bought Mel Robbins' book, The Let Them Theory. I don't know whether you've read it. I put up a picture of it on my story. Like, I'm about 3 chapters in. I only got a chance to read 1 chapter this week. But I got it because I am someone who, you know, when you're in the public eye or in the spotlight and stuff, like, you do tend to worry about what other people think, because, you know, if you're a performer or you're a coach and all, you want to worry, you're worrying about like, I hope I'm doing a good enough job. I hope I'm giving this person the service that they want. I hope I'm delivering a show that this person expected, you know, like a good show. So, and then also when you have 2 platforms, 2 social media pages, and, you know, you're basically handing yourself over to thousands of strangers, you know, like validation really. And you can just get some pricks as well that leave just negative comments, you know, trolls really. And this book is all about like, let them, and not just about when you, if you have a social media page, you know, if someone's like really mean to you, or someone's being a prick to you, or you just can't wrap your head around why someone would do something to you, because you wouldn't do it, you know, it's a great book for that, like the Let Them Theory. But it doesn't mean like you let people away with things, like, oh, you know, let them walk all over me, or let them keep the €2,000 that they owe me. Like, it's not like that. It's more like you need to back it up with the let me. So, okay, let them go off, have dinner with each other if it's your friends. They didn't invite me, and let me focus on, do I stay in enough contact with them? Like, that's one of the examples that she gave. She's like, I seen my friends going out for dinner, and, you know, they all looked really, really happy. She's like, we haven't really spoken in a while, not because they fell out, just they've kind of like been distant, because life gets in the way. And she was kind of jealous about it. She was like, how dare they not ask me? And then, you know, she eventually comes up with the concept of, okay, well, let them go and have dinner, and let me focus on building a better relationship with them, so they actually do remember to ask me, you know. So sometimes it's not about taking things personally. Sometimes it's about looking at yourself in the mirror and being like, what part did I have to play in this, you know? And it doesn't mean that you take the blame for everything. You don't want to be a pushover, but, or like, sometimes when I look at other people who are posting content consistently, like, this is exactly, and I'm going to use an example of how I use the Let Them Theory last week actually. So when I look at other content creators and they're constantly churning out content like nearly on a daily basis, and their following has grown and stuff like that, and look, followers aren't everything, but they're also an indication that like, you know, with more growth comes more work. So I sometimes get in fear, like I get a bit insecure. I'm like, oh, you know, sometimes I mute them because I'm like, it's too distracting. Like I feel like I'm in competition with other people, and oh, like why can't I post consistently? And it's like you nearly envy them. And then I said, you know what, let them make their content, let them do what they enjoy, let them be disciplined, let them be consistent, and let me focus on how can I be better. Instead of envying someone and, you know, muting someone's page, how can I do better? You know, in a realistic way, like I obviously don't want to be biting off more than I can chew, where I start like cracking up, like this is way too much work. But what did I do? I contacted my assistant and I said, can you put a content calendar together for me? Like, she's a whiz at Excel. She put like a content calendar together for me. So I just make a list of all of my ideas. And she said, okay, let's settle on how many days a week do you want to post? And which day, like what genre do you want to post on that day? Okay, today I want to post a recipe video. Wednesday, I want to post an update on my diet video. Friday, I want to post 3 tips for losing weight. Let's say that's an example. And then I did it with my comedy page as well. So now, and especially someone with ADHD, like that was a game. This is a game changer because I actually feel organized now. And it's very, very similar to someone who's starting a calorie deficit who has a lot of weight to lose. And sometimes they can feel so overwhelmed with the mountain peak that they have to get to, that they end up just being like, no, I'm not doing it. And that's exactly what it's like when you have ADHD. You're looking at this massive task in front of you, and you're just thinking, this is way too overwhelming, and you just end up procrastinating. But when I see a content calendar in front of me now, and I know what's coming up this week, what I have to shoot, and then, you know, create, etc., and then the following week I know what I have to do, I feel less overwhelmed. And like, this is broken down now into bite-sized pieces, so I'm not thinking about this massive mountain peak anymore. I'm actually just focusing on, okay, well, I know what I have to do this week. So Monday is a day where I make all the content. Now we're starting it from next week because we only come up with this like Thursday and Friday. So we've put all the stuff into the content calendar, and then next Monday I start shooting for next week, you know. And then Tuesday I start working on the scripts and whatever else then for the following week. And it just makes me feel so much more organized, and I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, you know, I'm so bad at my job and this and that, and look at everybody else, they're doing so much better than me, like, you know, playing that kind of comparison game. So yeah, not only was it great for my ADHD with organization, but it was me putting the let them theory into place. And then, you know, I sometimes suffer that with my own friends as well. Like, I'll see my friend and, you know, my other friend going out to like a farm because one of them has kids, and they go out on a Sunday, and I'm like, well, just because I have kids, like, doesn't mean I shouldn't be invited. Like, you start kind of taking it personal. And, you know, I remember saying to myself, I thought about that situation again. I was like, no, like, let them go to the farm and let me focus on why did they feel that they didn't need to ask me. And then I took a step back and I'm like, well, they know that I'm busy training for the marathon, and they know that, you know, I'm a self-employed person and I'm always up to my eyes. And the amount of times, like, I have pulled out plans because things have popped up, or I'm like, oh, I can't do this day, I can't do that day. And, you know, they were probably just like, Enya's probably really busy today. And it wasn't a thing of like, no, let's not ask Enya, you know. And I can understand where they're coming from, and I didn't take it as personal. And then at the end of the day, I had to say to myself, hold on a minute, I'm not the best at staying in contact with people. Like, the phone works both ways. Like, I'm sure if I had to text my friend on Friday or Saturday and ask how she was, I would have been circling around her mind then over the weekend, and she probably would have reached out and said, why don't you come along, you know. So sometimes I can be like, I haven't heard from that person in ages, but I'm like, well, you haven't texted that person in ages either. So you kind of look at it from both sides of the coin, you know. But anyway, the purpose of this podcast was, I was obviously reading that book, and that motivated me this week. And I always say, don't rely on motivation, because it's fleeting and I won't be there every day. But there is certain days where you will feel a bit of a pep in your step. And I always say, results, especially when you're in a calorie deficit, cultivates motivation, but you have to do the work when you're not motivated. That's the deal, okay? But I just want to list off some of my favorite quotes and, you know, just break them down. And it really is about how you talk to yourself some days when you're just not feeling like it. You know, having these kind of mantras, they do just reinforce, right, I know you feel like shit today, I know this is the last thing you want to do, but do it because of X, Y, and Z, okay? So I'm just going to list off some of my favorite ones. So here's the first one. Sloppily jump into action instead of waiting until you know everything. Learn by learning, but do learn by doing. Okay, so basically what this means is a lot of people won't start a calorie deficit because they feel they don't know everything. I don't know how to track calories, or I don't know how much protein I should be, you know, how much cardio should I be doing? Like, just start, okay? What do you know? So for example, okay, well, I do know that, you know, it's good to walk a lot every day. Okay, so start with that. And you will learn as the days go on, because what's happening is you think that you have to be perfect. And it's the same with, like, I don't want to start because I have a holiday in 6 weeks' time and this is a 12-week deficit. Like, just start and learn to navigate through it. So learn, but, like, make mistakes. Go over your calories and, you know, understand, okay, well, I can't do that really consistently because I won't drop body fat. See what it's like to not eat enough protein on a consistent basis while you're on a diet, and you'll see how hungry you actually get. And then what's going to happen? Okay, I need to increase my protein so I don't feel like that anymore. Like, stop thinking that you need to have everything nailed down, or that you need to know absolutely everything so that way you can go into this with perfection. Like, no, like, you will have days where you go over your calories. You're going to have days where you miss your cardio. Like, no one was an expert in their field in week one, but they learned by doing instead of, you know, sorry, learn by learning. I messed it up a bit. Learn by learning. Learn along the way, you know. That's just learn to make mistakes. Know they are not going to be perfect, and that nobody has been perfect in week one. Like, I'm still learning. There's still things I have to learn. Like, you know, obviously the whole running thing. I know I've been doing it since January, but I'm still learning. I'm not an expert in that yet, you know. Like, I would say I would probably know a lot when it comes to nutrition and fitness, but there's still times someone will come to me and be like, what does this mean? And I'm like, you know, I'm actually gonna have to get back to you on that because I'm not even sure myself. But that didn't stop me from wanting to be a PT or, you know, any other profession. You will learn as time goes on, so do not do it just because you don't know everything, or if you can't afford a coach. Like, I know I'm shooting myself in the foot here, but YouTube was a great tool for me to learn things. And before I ever started working with a coach, I would look up things on YouTube and, you know, what does a calorie deficit mean? Or how do I know how much protein I should be eating? And, you know, you start implementing those things then as the weeks go on. Oh, well, you know, John on YouTube said that if I plan ahead how much protein I should be eating, you know, I'll guarantee then that I'll be able to fit it in. Rather than just winging it at every meal. Okay, so I'll try that. So I really like that quote for that reason. And then second one, I seen this, or so this was a meme. Tracking your food is obsessive. So is complaining about your body every day and doing nothing about it. Okay, so sometimes I'll hear off people like, oh, do you not think it's a bit obsessive to track your food? And I'm like, well, you're going to be the exact same person that comes into the staff room probably once a week eating shite, thinking, no, diet starts Monday, and oh, no, I couldn't wear that dress to the wedding the weekend. I felt awful in it. And it's like, well, if you're not willing to, like, really dial in your nutrition, like, can you lose weight without tracking your food? Yeah. Could you lose more weight if you tracked your food? Yes, because you're actually being able to be accurate with the amount of food calories that you're taking in, whereas you're kind of just eyeballing it. And, you know, yeah. If you aren't tracking. So I do recommend tracking. Same way if you were saving for a mortgage. Like, you need to be very, very anal about your savings. And you know, your mortgage broker needs to see that as well. And the banks need to see that. Rather than just dilly-dallying. Like, some weeks you're saving this and then other weeks you're saving that. No, like, it needs to be consistent. So tracking your food is obsessive. No, but, like, complaining over your body every day and doing nothing about it. Like, that's ridiculous. To me now, you know, like, you need to actually track your food if you want to be confident in your body, like, because that's what's going to work in the long run. Not cutting out entire food groups, cutting out sugar, cutting out chocolate, like, that's the routes that these people take. Okay, well, why don't you keep bread in your diet, keep chocolate in your diet, keep sugar in your diet, and just track your food and learn to eat that in moderation. But look, these people don't want to listen. They're the exact same people who say, oh, you're probably not allowed to have that, are you not? They think tracking calories is obsessive. But there's you walking in 12 weeks later, down a dress size, and you're feeling absolutely amazing when you go on your holiday and you're in your bikini and they're looking at pictures of you on Instagram and like, how did you do it? How did you drop the weight? And like, oh, remember you told me, like, obsessing over calories was ridiculous? Well, that's how I lost it, Sharon. I tracked my calories, something you're not willing to do. The next one is create clarity on what matters and you won't be overwhelmed. So, for example, I'll get a lot of people to be like, oh, I'll get a lot of clients who are like, oh, I don't have time, or, you know, the last few weeks have just mental. Maybe I just didn't pick the right time to start. And I just literally use an example there. I was getting overwhelmed with putting up content. Like, I didn't know what to do, this and that. create a system. It's not that you don't have enough time. It's that you don't have the right systems in place to actually make your life easier, okay? So what did I do? I created a content calendar to make my life easier. Now I have a system. So it's not that I don't have the time. It's not that I'm overwhelmed. It's that my life doesn't work in a way that complements my goal, okay? Because I'm trying to live a life that got me in a hole in the fourth place, all right? Now I need to kind of change that so I can prioritize my goal. So time management, what can you put in place? Like, what do you need clarity on? So I'm just going to repeat again, create clarity on what matters and you won't be overwhelmed. So for example, I just had a few examples here. Your mother is in hospital. You shouldn't be doing, like, if your mother was in hospital, would it be ideal to contact a fitness coach and be like, I want to do a fitness photo shoot prep. That's going to take 19 weeks. But my mother's in hospital at the moment and I have kids. I'm her only kid. I'm the only one that can go up to the hospital on a daily basis and bring her up a change of clothes, etc. Would that be ideal to start fitness photo shoot prep? Probably not, okay? Because family is a priority. And I always say this to my clients as well. Like, if they ever have a family member that's in hospital and they're like, oh, really sorry, and you're like, I couldn't get all my steps done this week, I'm not going to turn around like, you need a better system in place. Like, no, family is important. And they will always come first. Fat loss can always be picked back up, okay? But family, like, you know, that's really important and that's what matters most to people. You know, fat loss can come and go, but family, you know, especially like parents, immediate family, they are really important and they are a priority, and that takes priority in situations like that. But if you're torn around, you're like, oh, I didn't have the time because, you know, I had to bring my kids around to X, Y, and Z and this and that. Okay, well, that's something that never changes, right? You do that from one end of the year to the next. So you've decided to start this calorie deficit now, but that's always going to be there. Bringing the kids to football and extra activities, that's always going to be there. So you need to get a system in place so you're not getting overwhelmed every time, you know, it comes to you dropping the kids off to football or activities. You need to come up with a system that's going to make your life easier and less stressful. Okay, so what can you do? You could get up an hour early in the morning and go walking when the kids are in school or they haven't woken up yet. Little things like that, okay? There's always a way around it. That's something that won't change. So you can't turn around and say, oh, maybe I just chose the wrong time to start this. No, like, your kids are always going to be going to those activities, so you can't use that as an excuse, okay? But your mother isn't always going to be sick, you know, things like that. Like, that's the difference between those two. And then next one, the hardest part isn't working out. It's showing up when you're tired, saying no when temptation calls, doing the work when no one is watching. It's true, okay? You are never going to feel motivated to work out. And one thing that I do, right, and you can use this tip as well, is I nearly go into autopilot mode. Like, every day, like, you know, even the first kilometer of a run, just stop. Just go home. Just stop. Do you know what? Come back out later. Like, your body craves comfort and it will always pick the easy option because you've spent most of your life taking the easy option, sitting on the couch instead of going out for a walk, having snacks instead of cooking a meal because it's just quicker. Like, your brain is wired for comfort, but, you know, they've also turned into habits because you've repeated them so much over time that it's all your brain knows. So even now, like, I still find exercise uncomfortable. Like, I don't enjoy it, but I enjoy what I get down the line from it, okay? I don't enjoy going to the gym, but I enjoy looking at my body 3 months down the line from going to the gym numerous times when I didn't feel like it. It's long-term gratification, but what's short-term gratification? Pissing off to McDonald's instead of going to the gym, staying on the couch instead of going to the gym. That's easy, that's comfortable, but you ain't going to get results doing that, you know? So the hardest part is showing up when you know that goal is still 12 weeks away, when you know that dress size is still 12 weeks away. When you put in the work and you persevere and you just suck it up and you're like, do you know what? This is going to take time. And I always tell people this who start calorie deficit and they want to lose 2 to 3 stone. I'm like, right, you just need to accept here today. This is going to be about a year away, okay? You losing 2 to 3 stone because 2 to 3 stone, like, there's 14 pounds in 1 stone. Like, if you're losing 3 stone, that's like, what, 42 pounds? Are you going to be in a calorie deficit for 42 weeks straight? Absolutely not. Like, you're going to be taking off time in between. Sorry, I need to sneeze. Excuse me. I think I have some allergies. Allergies for my cat. No, you're not going to be doing 42 week diet straight, okay? You'd crack up, Jesus Christ. So you're probably going to be taking a month off in between each stone, okay? That's the way I do it. I lay out a roadmap for a client. They'd be like, right, 12 weeks on a deficit, 4 weeks at maintenance, 12 weeks on a deficit, 4 weeks at maintenance. And then, you know, you might even take a bit of a longer stretch then, a longer break, like even 2 months. But I just say that, I goes, you need to get this out of your head that this is going to happen in a few months. It's not, okay? It's 42 pounds. Just accept now. Don't even be looking at the mountain peak. Don't even look at how long this is going to take, okay? Just accept this is not going to happen in a few months. But time's going to pass anyway. And before you know it, it's January today. Before you know it, you're going to be putting up your Christmas tree and you were in a size 16 and now you're in a size 12, okay? That's what I want you to think about. I want you to think of putting that angel on top of your Christmas tree in your fucking bikini, because you're going to be confident enough to be able to wear that. That's the shit you need to be thinking about. I say it to clients as well, okay, it's January now, you're going on holiday in August and you want to drop 2 stone. Okay, that's probably going to be achievable in 6 months, all right, 2 stone. But I want you to visualize yourself every time you want to stay on the couch after work, or you're betting to Netflix and you still have 10,000 steps to do, or you want to have that extra chocolate bar, or you want to skip a cardio session. I want you to picture yourself on that beach in your bikini feeling confident, because you don't feel confident now, okay? And it's the same with people who constantly order takeaways. I'm like, what's going to feel better, right? You might feel better in the moment eating this curry, eating this spice bag. It's going to give you a few hits of dopamine, a little, you know, a few minutes of warm fuzziness, but you're going to feel shit. Right, not that it's bad feel, but it's going to make you feel shit because you know you didn't honor your goal that day. But what's going to feel better in 6 months' time when you're sitting on that beach and you are wrecking your fella's head? I'm fucking sick of taking pictures of you. Why? Why do you want pictures? Because you feel so confident. You feel confident. You actually want someone to take a picture of you in a bikini now. You don't even have enough confidence now to get a picture at a party in a long sleeve top and jeans. Okay, so imagine hassling your fella to take a picture of you. You know, like 200 photos of you in your gallery, of you in your bikini, and you know, you are just spamming social media because that's how good you feel. I'd say people are sick of seeing me in this fucking bikini because you have so much confidence. Like, there's no better feeling when you even put on a pair of jeans that were bet on you. Like, I that's one thing I'm noticing now. Like, clothes I wore when I came back from Australia when I was like 4 kg heavier. You know, they were tight in certain places, like around my thighs and stuff like that. And, you know, I hold a lot of body fat in my bum and stuff. Like, the jeans were tight, like they would close, but you know, where you can kind of see our skin gathering, like where your belly button is. Now they're snug, like they're actually snug. And there's like room, like for me to put my hand down my jeans. Like, that is where it pays off. Okay, so the hardest part is it isn't working out. It's showing up when you're tired. Okay, that's because most of the time you aren't going to feel motivated. Most of the time you are going to feel tired. You're not going to want to do it. I find the days where I want to go to the gym is when I actually don't have an awful lot on. So like a day where, oh, all I have to do today is just get my steps in and go to the gym. But if I know I have a lot on, I get overwhelmed. Again, I don't know whether it's an ADHD thing, but I think of all this shit I have to do today. And I have to go to the bleeding gym as well. Like, that's how I feel. But you know what I do? And I know I mentioned this a few minutes ago and I actually went off on a tangent. I have like this outer body experience. So I do be saying to myself, I don't want to go. But while I'm saying this, fucking gym, don't want to go. That's the last place I want to go. While I'm saying this to myself, I'm putting my runners on. I'm brushing my hair. I'm, you know, packing my little gym bag. And I'm still kicking myself. I'm still kicking and screaming. But action creates, you know, a body in motion says emotion. So action actually cultivates motivation, because your body's like, right, she's telling herself one thing, but she's actually getting up and doing the actions that are the opposite. I want to stay on the couch, but I'm getting up and putting my shoes on. So your body is going with that. Okay. As much as you're beating yourself up and you don't want to go and this is shite and this is the last thing I want to do, you're not listening to that voice. You're doing the opposite to what that voice is telling you. And I'm telling you now, I do it every time and I always end up in the gym. Always. Just let that voice run its course. Let it. And just put your shoes on. Still scream at yourself. Put your jacket on. Get your car keys. Sit in the car. And right, I probably spend about 20 minutes in the gym car park scrolling on my phone. But I'm like, right, I'm here now. And there's no point going home. I'm after driving all the way to the gym, go in. And then sometimes when I am in that car park situation and I do feel like, oh, well, I just go home and come back later, I think to myself, what's the 2 minute version of what I'm trying to avoid? I seen this quote the other day, okay? What's the 2 minute version of what I'm trying to avoid here? So let's say you have a stack of plates, right? And you have to do, it's a Sunday dinner, you have to wash up after everyone. And it's the last thing you want to do. You're looking at the mountain of plates on the sink and you're like, oh, I'll go to bed and I'll do it tomorrow. Now, what's the 2 minute version? Washing two plates. And what's going to happen after you wash two plates? You're going to wash a turd. And then all of a sudden you're into it and it's done. Okay. Like, what's the 2 minute version of going to the gym? Okay, well, I'll put my shoes on. Right, now what's the 2 minute version after I put my shoes on? I'll look for my keys and brush my hair. Like, break it down if you have to into bite-sized pieces, because like with that mountain peak, when someone has to lose 2 to 3 stone, you know, you get overwhelmed. You're looking at this mountain peak, but you need to focus on the step in front of you. Just focus on the next 2 minutes. Just focus on that. And sometimes when I have content to make, I can get overwhelmed. Like, I actually have to write out a shot list, okay? So it's a list of what I have to do with my camera. Okay, this scene, I'm going to be at the window. This scene, I'm going to be back in the kitchen. This scene, I'm going to be at my car. When I actually break it down into bite-sized pieces, it doesn't seem as overwhelming. But when I think of all the moving around I have to do and this and that, I get overwhelmed, okay? So break it down into bite-sized pieces. And then this one's kind of similar. It's not built in big moments. It's not built in big moments, it's built in unglamorous decisions you make every day. Yeah, so it's not built in big moments, it's built in unglamorous decisions you make every day. So, for example, it's a bit similar to the previous quote, okay? But I always say to my clients, very similar to the top quote about sloppily jumping into action. You think that, let me just repeat that quote again, okay? So it's not built in big moments, it's built in quiet and glamorous decisions you make every day. So it's the little things that add up every day. Like, so someone who doesn't do their 10,000 steps because they can only do 5,000. Oh, well, what's the point? I can't do the 10. No, every step adds up. Every step counts. Or I couldn't do a cardio session this week, so I failed. I'll just order a curry. Right, well, you had to do 5 cardio sessions that week and you done 4 and you had your curry. Big deal, okay? It was classes at dinner that day. It's not like you had 5 meals that day. Like, people just want to throw the towel in because they can't be perfect, okay? So don't think because I only got 9,000 steps today, you failed. You did 9,000 steps more than someone who didn't walk at all, okay? Like, there's always a checklist every day that can contribute. There's something on that checklist, your fat loss checklist, okay, which is your deficit, your cardio, your steps, your workouts. There's something that you can tick off on that list every day that can contribute to your goal, even if it's only one of them. And that's when I stopped giving up because I couldn't be perfect. Years ago, I would just stop. If I went out the weekend, right, that's it, I've ruined it. Or I didn't go out walking one day because I had a headache, right, that's it, I've ruined it. And, you know, or that could be a Thursday and I just start back Monday. No, like, when I actually stopped trying to chase perfection, okay, went over my calories today, but I still got all my steps in, still got my workout in. Next day, okay, couldn't get to the gym today because life got in the way. Well, still set in my deficit, still got my steps in. Or a day where I could only get 5,000 steps in. Well, still set in my deficit, still went to the gym. Like, there's something every day that you can tick off your list. And it all adds up. It all compounds, okay? You think in the moment it doesn't. Oh, well, I've only done 5,000 steps today. I'm only going to lose 10% of a pound. No, like, it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. Some of the time, you're not going to hit your steps. Some of the time, you will go over your calories. Some of the time, you will miss a gym session, but most of the time, you won't. And it's those little decisions, like parking further away from the door. Like, you're going to struggle to put time away today to actually go on a walk on purpose. Okay, well, I'll park further away from the door at the shopping centre to get extra steps in. Or I have to go for this work lunch today. Like, I don't want to sit there and just drink an Americano and not look like a weirdo. Look, it's your choice at the end of the day and have boundaries, but I want to eat something. I want to be part of this lunch. Okay, well, I'll just make sure I don't double up on carbs on the plate and I'll stick to one protein source, one carb source. That could literally be a chicken wrap with a side salad instead of getting chips. Okay, that compounds. Oh, well, you know, I ate off plan. I ruined my progress. No. Okay, you probably went over your calories by 100 or 2, but isn't it not better than... Is that not better than ordering a pizza to yourself just because you have to eat out? Well, if I'm going to eat out, I'm going to make the most of this. No, like, you can still, it all compounds. Like, you can still make sensible decisions. Or, for example, I love when I see clients do this. They're like, hey, Enya, I did my cardio this week, but Tuesday I could only do 20 minutes instead of 40 minutes because I had to go to a meeting. Well, you couldn't have done any cardio that day just because you couldn't do 40 minutes, but you turned up to the gym and you done 20, okay? And that's going to count. So don't think because you can't do something perfectly, you should just not do it at all. Every step counts, every minute of cardio counts, it all adds up, okay, as opposed to just not doing anything. So the next one is, it's very similar to the mountain peak theory, okay? 2 years, not 2 months. Routine forced, how to achieve and not think when you'll achieve. So you have to stop thinking, when am I going to get to this? Like, when am I going to lose this? Think about how are you going to lose it, okay? Because you need to focus on the process, because that's going to lead to when you're going to lose it, okay? If you keep thinking, oh, it's not happening quick enough, it's not happening fast enough, like, what's going to happen? You're just going to look for reasons not to stick to it, okay? So very similar to the girl who wanted to lose 2 to 3 stone, 2 years, not 2 months, all right? I'm trying to change my life here. I'm going to use myself. I'm 22 years of age. Now, imagine up until today, I ate nothing but shit, binge drinked like 2 to 3 times a week, like could not run from here to the end of my garden. And walking, are you mad? Like, if I had to walk for 10 minutes, I'd rather get a taxi, okay? And imagine living that type of life for 22 years and you think that's all going to change in the space of 2 months. No, like, you're just going to get started after 2 months, okay? Things are only going to start to change in your mind after 2 months, and the mindset has to change before the body does, okay? You need to work on putting a system in place that's going to make your life easier. How am I going to implement these habits that are actually going to get me to where I want to be? That's going to happen gradually. It's not going to happen overnight. Okay, I've never gone walking before. I don't like going out and doing 10,000 steps. I walk probably 2,000 steps at most a day. Right, do you think you're going to go from 2,000 to 10,000 straight away? No, you're going to gradually build on that as the weeks go on. And then eventually, maybe after a month, now I'm doing 10,000 steps every day. If you've never stepped foot on a Stairmaster machine and you're thinking, I want to do an hour of cardio a day, and you, because it's going to get me to my goal quicker, you will last 3 to 4 days doing an hour of cardio a day, because you can't run for a bus without having a panic attack. I don't know if you can hear that siren in the background. Someone's probably running for a bus now who is not fit. Okay, you need to gradually build up your fitness levels, all right? And that's probably going to take 2 months. You're probably going to be on level 2 on the Stairmaster, and then, you know, for a few weeks till eventually you can move up to level 3 and not feel like you're going to take a heart attack, okay? Small baby steps is going to lead you to the person you're going to be in 2 years. When I look at myself 2 years ago, like, I was still an infant in this industry, and you know, and when it comes to my body composition as well, like, I've built more muscle in the last 2 years. I've just developed better discipline because I've done so many calorie deficits, and you learn with each one that you do. But when I first came to my coach, I was naive. I thought I was going to be able to do X, Y, and Z in the space of a few months, but you don't realize that those habits are embedded in your head. Those bad habits that have got you into this hole. And it takes time and it takes practice. It takes mistakes, sloppily going into it, like I said at the start, and eventually learning as you go, learning from your mistakes, until eventually, you know, it's 2 years down the line and you're like, you don't even recognize yourself anymore. And you wonder to yourself, how did I ever live the way I did for so long? Like, sometimes I have an out of body experience. Like, I go back to my Instagram archive on my Giza Laugh page, you know, back to, like, you can go back to like 2018, 2017, and there'd be days where I'd be just on camera and I'd be hungover and I'd look in bits and I'd be like, oh, girls, I was out last night, and oh, why do I do it to myself? I couldn't imagine ever living like that, or at least put up on social media. That's one thing. But like, when I look at the life I lived back then, you know, I judge people for running marathons. Like, what type of psychopath would want to run for, you know, for 42 kilometers? And look at me now. Like, you will always, every 5 years, I feel like you shed an older version of yourself. And then unfortunately, some people do stay the same. They just stay stuck. They think they have to live like that for the rest of their life. There's no other alternative, but you can always reinvent yourself. You can always change, okay? I'm not the person I was, same person I was 2 years ago, even though I was probably still a better version of myself than 2 years before that. But you grow, you mature. Like, I just think my frontal lobe has developed so much in the last 5 years. When I look back at who I was in like 2017, 2018, I'm a much more responsible person now because I earn more money. I have to be more responsible. I have to make better decisions for my lifestyle. But think 2 years, not 2 months. Think about conquering your routine first, structure first, and stop focusing on when you're going to achieve it, and focus on how am I going to achieve this in a sustainable way that's not going to affect my life, okay? And then the next one is, I actually really like this one, and it just literally touches on what I was talking about. Don't hate your body, hate the decisions that got you there, okay? Because your body is a reflection of your lifestyle. When I look at my body now in the mirror, it's a reflection of someone who goes to the gym 3 to 5 days a week, someone who does cardio consistently every week, okay, doesn't matter how long or how short, I just still do cardio, someone who walks daily, and someone who has been eating enough protein every day to build the muscle tissue that she can see in the mirror now. Like, I can see my shoulders, I can see my arms, how toned they are, I can see like my lat muscles, my back. That is a reflection of the decisions I've been making over the last 4 years, sorry, 2 to 3 years maybe. So don't hate your body when you look in the mirror. Don't hate your body for how it looks. Hate the decisions that you've been making. That, like, look at your lifestyle. Hate your lifestyle. Don't hate your body, because your body is, it's a vessel, okay? And you aren't fat. You have body fat, okay? So don't, like, use this identity, I'm fat. You have fat, okay? And you can get rid of it, okay? It's not part of your identity. And it's a reflection of the decisions you've been making. You've been sedentary. You've been drinking wine 2 to 3 nights a week at home and snacking on large bags of Doritos. You don't like going out walking because you haven't been walking, and that's going to feel like a chore to you, okay? And you're stuck in a rut, and your body is just mirroring the decisions you're making. Now, over time, as you start to gradually adjust them, now, as a woman, I will say you're always going to look in the mirror and pick out flaws. When I was doing my fitness photo shoot, everyone was so complimentary, like, oh, you're so lean, you're six pack, you're this, you're that. But I still had insecurities. I didn't have a tit to my name and I didn't have an arse. Okay, yeah, I felt good in certain clothes, in gym wear and stuff like that. And, you know, when I had a pump in the mirror after doing a workout, I was like, oh my God, look how muscly I am. But I still had insecurities. And I think we all will, as women, we will still have insecurities. But if you're overweight and unfit, okay, that is a reflection of your lifestyle, all right? And it's going to change over time. It's not going to happen overnight. But one day you will look in the mirror and be like, my body reflects my lifestyle. And that's someone who walks a lot, does cardio. Like, okay, maybe you'll always have the mom pouch, all right? The mammy pouch, whatever they call it. Maybe you're going through the change, okay? That's something that can't be helped. But your lifestyle decisions are in your control. And I even say it, like, I say to people all the time, if you're a few weeks into a diet and you are overweight, you will look in the mirror and you'll start talking to yourself differently. You'll be like, oh, I think I can see a bit of definition in my arm. And oh, like I can feel like, you know, my jeans are a little bit looser, and you start feeling more confident. It is a placebo effect. But when you're living a shit lifestyle, you're going to look in the mirror and you're not going to say nice things to yourself, okay? But that's up to you to change, and you can change it. Like I just said, every 5 years, it's like we shed an old version of ourselves. You can change whenever you want, and you're not stuck, all right? So I'm babbling on here, but I know I didn't do a podcast last week, so that's why this one's a little bit extra longer. Did I have one more? No amount of intensity can make up for a lack of consistency. So I love this one, and it's very similar to, like, you can only start if you can be perfect. So people who start week one of their diet and they're doing an hour of cardio a day and they're only eating 1,000 calories, and after the first week they're like, oh, the scales drop by like 3 pounds, and then they get to the end of week two and they're borne down and they're like, this is absolutely impossible, I can't do anything. This is insane, this is chaotic, this is unsustainable, right? You can't be consistent with that lifestyle, okay? So stop worrying about intensity and focus on embracing imperfection and focus on consistency. Doing things well and using a sustainable approach consistently is always going to be intensity, okay? You might get a trill out of scales dropping on week one, 2 to 3 pounds. But let me tell you, when you actually use an approach where you can still have ice cream with your kids, you can still go out every so often for a meal with your friends, and you actually see the scale dropping, that's so much more worth it in the long run, okay? So work on being consistent with your steps, your calorie deficit, and, you know, an approach that suits you, okay? And not copying off Mary down the road who's using this fucking juice cleanse diet, miracle placebo pill or whatever. Focus on what you can do well consistently, and it doesn't affect your life. So no amount of intensity can make up for a lack of consistency. Right, you're at the doing the first week after smashing like 6 cardio sessions, but can you be consistent with that? No, okay? So, and it's very similar to like, oh, I stuck to my calorie deficit on Monday and did my cardio, but I didn't do it on Tuesday or Wednesday. But Thursday, I absolutely smashed my calorie deficit and I did my cardio again. Right, you see how you're only doing like little pockets of intense exercise and calorie tracking? You're still not consistent though, okay? So you can smash your calories Monday and smash your calories on Wednesday and smash them on Friday. But if you're not doing it consistently over 7 days, you ain't going to see results. Okay. It matters what we do most of the time. And then this one is one of my favorite ones. Okay. You can't build the body you want by staying loyal to the habits that got you to your current one. All right. So a lot of people think that, oh, I'll just cut out bread, but you're still living the life of someone who doesn't walk, doesn't go to the gym. Like, you can't cheat this. And I used to do this all the time in the early days. And my own coach pulled me up on this. Like, it was like 4 or 5 weeks into a calorie deficit. And he's like, what's going on here, bud? Have you doing this much cardio? Have you on these calories? There's no way that scale can't be dropping. But little did he know, I was still going out drinking twice a week. And I was only doing like 5,000 to 6,000 steps a day. And I was probably eating out twice a week. But I wasn't telling him that. And I thought, oh, well, if I just do this, like, surely the scale will drop, you know? And it's like, no, Enya, you're practicing the habits that got you into this body in the first place. Like, stop being so naive, because they ain't going to be the habits that's going to get you out of that body. It's impossible, all right? So if nothing changes, nothing's going to change. If you want to get to a body that you actually like and you feel comfortable in, you can't practice the bad habits that got you to the body that you're currently in, okay? They have to change. You don't walk, you're going to have to start walking. You eat out too much, that's going to have to be cut back. You drink too much, that's going to have to be cut back, okay? And you need to replace the time that you channel into those bad habits and channel it into walking more. Instead of going out on the weekend, you know, wake up and go for a walk, or meal prep, or go on a cycle, or go on a run. Like, these habits have to be replaced, because I do always say that just completely stopping something can be hard, because you're just twiddling your thumbs and you're like, well, what do I do with all this time? Like, figure out ways to replace a bad habit with a good one. And it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect with that habit, okay? So let's say after work every day, you would, I'm not saying you have to do this, after work every day, you would sit on the couch and catch up on your favorite Netflix series, right? That's going to be about 2 hours. I'm not saying everyone has the luxury of doing that. Sometimes people have kids, I get that, but I'm just using this as an example. Okay, well, I'm not going to sit on the couch anymore, and I already got a walk in this morning before work, but now I have this spare time here and I don't know what to do. Okay, well, what's something you want to get better at? All right, well, I'd love to do like couch to 5K. Okay, look for a local running club, or just go out by yourself. And very similar to the first quote, don't go in just because you can't be perfect. Don't avoid running just because you can't be perfect with it, or you're not fit as a fiddle. Just start off, even if it's a fast walk and you have to jog and walk for, you know, most of it. Start somewhere. No one was an expert in week one, all right? Replace your Netflix time with developing a habit that's actually going to benefit you. That could even be reading or listening instead of sitting down reading a book, which is very similar to sitting down watching Netflix. Download an audiobook. Like, download the Let Them Theory. Download Atomic Habits. These are all really, really good books. Download The Mountain Is You. That's pretty much my pep talk today to get you to stop staying in this fixed mindset that you can't change and that you need to be perfect and you have to wait till this holiday is over and you've too much going on and, you know, you're trying to cheat your diet by living a lifestyle that got you into this hole. Like, things do have to change, okay? So this podcast was extra long today. It's 52 minutes so far. Just because I didn't upload a podcast last week, but I hope this gives you the fire in your belly, gives you a fire in your belly now to go out and do things. And remember, nobody is motivated 24/7. Like, I could probably count on my hands, one hand, how motivated I am or how many times I'm motivated in a year, lads, in a fucking year. And the only days I say that I'm motivated is when I know I've nothing on. And that's rare, okay? And that's going to be rare for you as well, right? You're always going to have something on. You're always going to have to move things around like a chessboard. But you need to just get a good system in place that complements your lifestyle, okay? But yeah, that's enough Emin from me. And I will be back next week with another podcast. Thank you for listening.